What do you mean? It's like, well, industry stuff?
Yeah, it's
inside industry?
Yeah, it's inside industry stuff. So, I don't know. Like, Gama Sutra is really cool if you want to see, like, statistics on how well something is selling, or how a company did something, or when something's going to be released with what specs. Like, a lot of it has to do with people either being hired on or leaving companies.
Technical stuff.
Technical stuff. And it's pretty neat to just poke around there and see some of their period pieces. Like, there's a couple of them that you wouldn't normally see on blog sites like Kotaku. There's one that's like analyzing Deadly Premonition, and that was kind of a cult game, cult classic that not many people covered, but
sure.
Industry, it's not really focusing on industry giants, more or just focusing on the industry in general.
I see.
Yes.
You know, the only one I really keep up with is the Penny Arcade Report, and even then I don't really read it every day.
You know, I read the Penny Arcade Report's post on the Silent Hill movie, and I completely and wholeheartedly agree.
Well, I didn't see that one. What did he say?
Wait,
which Silent Hill movie? The new one?
The new one.
Didn't the new one just come out?
Yeah, it came out on last Friday, and I went to go see it.
Is it good? Not so much?
Okay. The way that I describe the first Silent Hill movie is that it's not a great movie. It's okay. A good movie, but it is a great Silent Hill movie.
Well, that's good then.
Do you understand the difference?
Yeah, that's good then. That sounds like a good thing to me.
The second one is a bad movie it's an okay movie, and it's only a decent Silent Hill movie.
I see.
The only reason being, they added in a character that has no point being there, other than to be a plot device, and and he's there substituting for another character who's actually well developed, that they make him go, that they could have used, and in fact in the game they did, as a character and not another plot device. So this character they made up is plot device B, whereas the character they got rid of is plot device A. He literally has, like the article says, 30 seconds of screen time, and then he's gone.
What's his purpose then?
To show up as a... he's only there because he was there in the game. He's there as an Easter egg.
Oh. Oh, so so this character wasn't made up. He didn't make up just a random character for no reason.
Yeah, the first, the character that is there, that who's being replaced, is Douglas Cartland. He's in the game, he's with you as your sort of partner guidance character. He's replaced by a character named Vincent in the movie as the companion character who has not at all any place in there other than to be the dragging rope of the film. Like, he's like, we should do this, we shouldn't do that. And that's how the plot runs along, and it's really annoying, because the plot carries itself. Like, they could completely cut him out, and there still would have been a sufficient amount of drive to go through the entire plot.
I wonder what he was doing in there, then.
Because they try to force some stupid love plot line in there that's not necessary, other than because Hollywood. But it's decent. I mean, I wasn't, like, raging when I left the theater.
Sure.
I was just like, oh, that could have been a lot better. Uh-huh. You know, I was more disappointed than anything. I mean, it's still, the thing that I really love about it, and it's what I love about the first film, is that it understands the series.
Well, that's good.
You know what I mean? It understands what makes it tick. And the cool thing is, like, as a fan, if you watch it with an open eye, you can see all these little Easter eggs that if you know the series, you'll get. Like, you'll see a random character in the background. You're like, oh, it's that character from that game.
Sure.
Like, the cool thing about it is they end the movie with, like, before the credits roll, after the main plot is done, they have an Easter egg scene at before the credits roll of the beginning of Silent Hill Downpour. It's really cool because the camera is fixated on the sign that says now leaving Silent Hill. And then you see the patrol car leading the way for the prison bus that the main character from Silent Hill Downpour is in. And the camera goes around the sign and it says, "Welcome to Silent Hill." And the mist goes and consumes the bus. And it's super awesome.
I see.
Like, it understands it, and it's really cool to see that. And frankly, I think the actress that they picked to play the main character, Heather, she did an amazing job.
Amazing.
As that, I was, like, really happy with how they portrayed her.
I haven't played any of those games or seen any of the movies.
Yeah.
Pyramid Head's a guy, isn't he? He does stuff.
There's
isn't it, wasn't it?
Yeah, he's not supposed to be.
What do you mean he's not supposed to be?
Because in the game, he represents an aspect of a character's psyche. And because that character isn't in that movie, he can't be there.
I see.
Physically, okay. He's not supposed to be there. Other fans have explained it away, saying it's like, well, no, he's a monster, and people just see different versions of him. But then again, it's like the developers did make it to have a really open, you know, a really open mythology. I'm just really kind of peeved when they pull him out as just a feature monster. It's like, oh, look, it's your old friend Pyramid Head. Hey,
sure.
That's how you know it's Silent Hill. I'm like, come on, guys, save him for when he's actually scary and not because you want to identify this series.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of like they won't. It would be like if Disney chose to put the mouse ears in every Disney film. Just so that you got the picture that it was a Disney movie, like, it had to be in every single one. You go and watch Brave, and somehow one of them has a Mickey Mouse hat, like they're trying to make you swallow that. That's how I feel like whenever they pull them out. But there are some really cool monsters in that movie, and there's some pretty decent effects. It's really neat. I mean, like I said, I was just a little disappointed that it could have been better, but overall, it was worth the trip, I think. I'm hoping to see Wreck-It Ralph when it comes out, though.
When is that coming out?
2nd. Comes out on the 2nd, and I'm so excited.
Friday, right? Friday?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think so. It's going to be super awesome.
It looks alright. I wouldn't say it looks super awesome, but I mean, it looks like it'll be good. Who's making it? It's not a Pixar movie, and it's not DreamWorks.
It's Disney.
Is it a Disney movie?
Yeah, it is. I think so.
But it's not Pixar.
No. No. No.
I know for sure it's not. Yeah, there's the Disney logo. But yeah, I know for sure it's not a Pixar movie. That's interesting.
I don't know who's making it. Who's
Disney.
Making it?
Disney's making it.
No. So, okay, so that's their in-house.
Walt Disney Animation Studios.
Huh. They've done a couple before, haven't they?
I don't know what other 3D movies they've done, if any.
Well, I really like all the things that I've seen in the trailers so far.
Yeah. No, it does look like it'll be good. I don't know if I'll go see it or not.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really see a lot of movies in theaters.
Yeah, it's like mostly the ones that we've gone to have been, like, all the blockbuster superhero movies that we knew were going to be really good. Like, we went to go see The Dark Knight.
Sure, yeah. I really only go to the theaters for something like that, for Batman. I saw The Avengers. I used to go and see all the Harry Potters.
Yeah.
Just bigger movies, I guess, that I know are going to be good and I'm going to enjoy. Or hopefully enjoy, anyway.
What drives me nuts sometimes is, like, I'll look up, because I go on all the other Gawker sites, and there's the one that has all the movie previews. I'll click on the wrong one. I'll click on an article, and then on the related articles on the side, I'll click on that, forgetting that those are, like, way older.
Okay.
And it's like, and it'll say, like, spoilers for the final Harry Potter movie, and I'm like, didn't that come out, like, ages ago? Like, did it come out?
And I think it did.
And I look at these screenshots, and they're like, these are amazing. I wonder what these scenes could mean. And I'm like, but we've already seen it. We saw it already. Yeah.
Uh-huh. That's the thing about those sites. Everything gets outdated, like, immediately.
Yeah.
That's funny.
But, Speaking of Silent Hill, I want to bring up the question that was asked to us, our weekly Grice question.
Well, how do you get there from Silent Hill?
Because that's my answer.
Oh,
I've never
gosh.
Written one. I've never written one.
Okay. Well, let's read the question.
Okay, read. Is it my turn?
Go ahead.
Okay. Hold on. Let me get it word for word by bringing up the site.
Oh, I have it. Mr. Grise asks us, have either of you written fan fiction for something? And I guess we just learned Josh's horrible secret.
I've always longed to write Silent Hill fan fiction.
Oh, so you haven't then?
No, I have not.
Oh, okay.
I've never done it, but I've always wanted to. Because I feel like a series like that lend itself to fan fiction like that. Like,
more
as long
stories.
As, yeah, if it has a really heavy world mythos, you could tell a lot of stories in it. Like, that's one of the reasons why Harry Potter has a big, huge fan fiction fan base. Because they'll just set it in Hogwarts. It could be about any characters or whatever.
Sure.
And it'll work. And I feel like Silent Hill, since all of them are character pieces, on each game has a character you haven't met before, and could be completely unrelated to all the other plots, it sets itself to it. And I've always wanted to try it, at the very least. I actually was going to do what is it? It's a tabletop system. It's like modern D20, where set in Silent Hill, where everyone had like super low HP, and like they'd be trying to survive in Silent Hill, and they had limited ammo.
Sure.
And it was supposed to be really scary because you're supposed to run from everything.
Yeah.
But it would have been pretty. Pretty
what,
difficult.
What
to
could
run.
Have been?
Well, yeah, it's one of those things that I don't really think about too much now. But I thought that it might be a fun little thing to do someday. Just go anonymously and then have a bunch of people on the internet tell me that I'm terrible.
No, that I should. No, you're going to be the best fan fiction writer there ever was.
There are actually a lot of fan fiction writers that went on to get just, like, published after they got famous.
Well, yeah, there is, like, some... It's just because when you normally think of fan fiction, it's just some random person who doesn't know how to write. Just, like, I love Harry Potter. I'm gonna write my own Harry Potter story.
Yeah. That's one of the reasons why I really avoid it, because there is a lot of good fan fiction.
I have read a few that were actually pretty good.
Yeah, they're gems. But you have to wade through all the ones that are meh or whatever, and it's hard to find them. It's so hard to find them. it's a lot like fan art in DeviantArt of like your favorite series. You have to wade through them, and finally you'll come across one really awesome picture. Like a diamond in the rough. Oh, I've been debating. Speaking of that, I've been debating buying Stephen Prescott's new book. He has this big paperback that's like 100 pages long, and it's all just pencil artwork from a sketchbook.
It's a sketchbook.
Yeah,
that's cool.
And it's like if you pay a little extra, he'll sign it for you, and like he's got a few limited edition ones. Or it's got some extra art that he drew after he had already sent it to be printed, and it just comes separately.
Sure.
I really want to get it. I've been keeping up with this blog, but I just want to see like what other stuff he does.
Yeah.
Besides all the fantasy art he does for Wizards of the Coast.
Yeah, those art books are always fun. The I forgot his name, Tendapol. The guy that did Earthworm Jim, he had a Kickstarter recently, and I got his sketchbook.
That's awesome.
So that'll be fun. That'll be fun when that gets here.
Yeah. Yeah, I was just looking at it. He has this thing going on where he has a contest for a copy of it. I think it's like he drew 10 pieces of artwork that are supposed to resemble album covers, and if you guess all of them amongst a certain amount of time, like the first couple of people that email him will get a limited edition copy of it. And I couldn't decipher any of them except for one. Mm. But, like, all of the album covers that he did are so awesome. Like, he did one of, like, this little girl, and she's holding out her hand, and floating up from her hand is one of those deep-sea fanged fish, the lantern fish.
I think angler fish.
The angler fish, angler there you fish, go. Yeah. And it's so awesome. And it's just all in pencil. He just...
Sure.
Because that's how he does it. He's super good, that jerk.
Also, today, I think they're probably sold out already. Kate Beaton released her sketchbook.
Oh, really?
Yep, I bought it. I think you might be too late. Because when I got mine, there were only 80 copies left.
I was super close to buying her her first Hark of Vagrant book when I was in college the other day.
I do want it. Oh, you saw it there?
I see. Yeah, it's there.
That's cool. I was gonna get it.
I was gonna get that, and I was gonna look for Meredith Grand's
Octopus Pie.
Yeah, I'm starting to read it. It's pretty cool.
I like it a lot. Well, I like it. I haven't sat down and read it. I have seen it at Barnes & Noble one time, and I almost got it.
Yeah.
It definitely looks like a comic I'd be interested in reading. I just haven't done it yet.
It's really nice to see...
I like her art.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a really nice style. It reminds me of Scott Pilgrim in a way.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
But I love how it's just slice of life that actually you're really interested in the characters. Because yeah. Slice of life is usually just a sitcom, you know? The reason why you're reading it is because of the situations. But in that one, it's both that and the character. Like, Octopus Pie is pretty good. Pretty good in terms of, like, getting you to care about each of the characters.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I still need to sit down and read it. It's on my list of webcomics I need to read.
I'm still waiting for them to get the second volume of the Batman Court of Owls plotline. It's like, I could just be, you know, I could just go buy the singles, but I want them in that hardback.
Yeah, in the hardcover. What do they call that? Like, they call those trades, right?
Yeah. I know I want to finish the storyline, but it won't matter anyway because it's branching into, like, the next arc. So even if I do catch up on it, it's going to leave me at another cliffhanger, and I'm just going to be like, So I'm letting it build.
So you're saying they're setting up the next arc before they're ending this one?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
They've done that a couple of times in other ones. The one that I just bought, Gates of Gotham, which is another one written by the current head writer of Batman, Scott Snyder.
Okay.
They have a story in there that sets up some of the events. It's a bonus story, too. It's just there that's hinted at the end of the plotline that hints to an arc in Batman Incorporated. And it's, like, a pretty major thing. Like, there were characters in there. Like, there's Cassandra Cain, who's one of the other Bat... What would you call
it? Bat people?
Bat people.
Bat person.
Yeah.
Who is she?
She's apparently a representative. I think it was Hong Kong. It was like the Batman of Hong Kong.
Oh, okay.
Because there's a bunch of them now.
Yeah, in Batman Incorporated. Is that still going? Did they reboot that with New 52?
That's the weird thing with New 52. They didn't really set back the timeline.
That one did not get rebooted.
Yeah. I don't think it's just going. It just kept going.
Okay.
The one thing that they did change in Batman, though, is they gave, like, Oracle is not in a wheelchair anymore.
Hmm.
Like, she went through, like, some miracle operation, and now she's Batgirl again. But a lot of fans were upset because they were saying that, like, she is the only, like, disabled superhero.
Yeah.
And a lot of people looked up to Oracle saying, like, look, she's in a wheelchair. She's still one of the most vital members of the Justice League. We have someone to look up to in that regard. And then they were just like, nope, Miracle Cure, you're back to being, you know, Batgirl.
Uh-huh.
I understand both sides. I really like her as Batgirl, but I also really like Oracle as well.
I like the Batman Beyond one.
Yeah, it's a bit, like, it's since it takes place in the Bruce Timmiverse, it's not officially canon.
Yeah, I know, but...
But I love, yeah, I love how she is when she's the commissioner.
Yeah. So there is a Batman Beyond comic.
Yeah,
so universe
yeah.
that set in. Different future timeline. Alternate future.
Yeah, it's, I don't know.
I haven't read any of these, so I don't really know what
I'm
talking about.
I know that they follow the continuation of the Bruce Timmiverse. I think they do. Because it's really weird. It's like any comic line is fine, any timeline is fine until you kill off a crucial character.
Mm.
It's like anything that's said during the cartoon, if it's mentioned later in the comic, like that's solid. You can't mess with that anymore. Especially if you say it's like, okay, it's the continuation of the cartoon. You can't have an arc line where the Joker randomly pops out. It's like, oh, the Joker was cryogenically frozen. It's like, no, you have to come up with a really big way of explaining.
What are you getting kind of here, Josh? You're rambling.
Saying,
I don't know what you're saying anymore.
I am. essentially, what I'm saying is, it's like, I love those comics, but I'm not sure I would enjoy them if they... I'm sure I would enjoy them more if they weren't so tied to the cartoon, if it were its own thing.
Oh, sure.
Because if the writers were said, okay, you can start over from square one, tell the story of Terry McGinnis.
So it is tied in pretty closely with the cartoon then.
Yep.
Well, I guess, yeah, at the same time, that's not really a bad thing. But it would be cool to see what new things they could do with it, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm. I haven't read it, so I can't really say either way.
I really love Batman Beyond. It's so good. Like that whole team, that whole animation team that worked on, you know, Batman.
All of those, yeah.
All of those cartoons and Justice League.
Yeah.
They were so good. They know how to weave a good 30 minutes of entertainment without, like, overstaying their welcome.
Sure.
I love that about those. Especially since you see that angle. You see Batman in the same light in that show as you did Solid Snake in Metal Gear 2. Like, in Metal Gear Solid 2.
Metal Gear?
Ah, that's a big segue. I didn't think that was possible before. I outdid myself there.
Wait, did you intend to?
No.
Is that
no.
our next talking point? Metal Gear Solid?
No.
In other news.
In other news.
Metal Gear Solid is a game that I enjoy.
I still haven't played the fourth one.
Well, get yourself a PS3 and a copy of the game.
I'm debating it. I'm debating it because there's a what's the name of that game? The Last of Us.
Uh-huh.
I really want to play that. And I want to go back and play Uncharted.
Yeah, you haven't played Uncharted, huh?
I've only played I've played about an hour of the second one, and I loved it.
Yeah, it's really good. I still want to play the third one. Which,
yeah.
Like, people say it's still really good, but it kind of, it doesn't do anything new with the formula. It's just the same thing again. Which isn't a bad thing, because the same thing is good. But it's not new.
Yeah, I mean, given the fact that it's meant to be like an action film, that's not bad.
Yeah, thing. Yeah.
Because that's what you go and see a sequel to an action movie for. More of the same.
More or less, yeah.
As long as it's not worse.
Yeah. I didn't want to play it. Still several games I still need to play.
You were talking about Hawken before.
Yeah, they had another beta weekend this weekend. I cannot figure it out. It's just, normally I'm pretty good at picking up these FPS games, but at any point I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. I mean, I know what the objective is. I know what point I'm supposed to go capture, but I don't know how. Like, I run over there in my big slow-moving mech, and there's just five enemy mechs sitting there. They're all in tank formation, and they just blast me from afar. I get sniped or whatever. And it's like, how am I supposed to get in there? I have to go capture that point.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I mean, I guess that could happen in any FPS, but in this, in other games, I could throw a grenade.
Yeah.
You know? And in this, I don't know what to do. It's like, how do I get in there?
That's how I felt during the Tribes beta. I was like, what am I doing? How do I hit them?
And I got the flag, now what?
Yeah, what do I do? And then someone's like, you need to ski, noob. And I'm like, what is this? So skiing?
No, I came in knowing at least that much.
No, I had not even played Tribes 2.
Oh, really? That was
my first Tribes experience.
You're talking about the new one, the Tribes Ascend.
Yeah, I've never played a Tribes game before that. Yeah.
I played, which one did I play? I don't remember what it was called. It was on the PS2. Which is
Vengeance?
Maybe. Which, as far as I know, is not the quintessential Tribes experience.
Mm-hmm.
But I
do. Yeah.
It's funny.
Yeah, I had fun playing it. I just didn't know what I was doing. I just felt like, I stopped playing it mostly out of shame because I felt like I was always dragging my team down.
Uh-huh.
I was having MOBA syndrome, you know what I mean? You want to get better at it so you can start having the proverbial fun, but you feel so bad for, like, dragging everyone else down that you just can't bring yourself to try.
Yeah, you're just not even having a good time anymore.
Yeah.
But, with Tribes, because there's just so many things you can do in Capture the Flag. Like, you can pick an engineer class and set up turrets and fix your shield around the base and your anti-air gun emplacements. It's like, what are these, all these, I thought it was just Capture the Flag. What is all this extra stuff?
Yeah.
It's like, I just never knew, it's like, what purpose should I be fulfilling at this point? So I'd be like, okay, well, I'm just going to go take the flag. That's how we win, right? Go get the flag. And then I'll actually manage to grab it a couple times, but I can never get away.
Yeah.
No matter how good I think I'm doing. It's like, oh, yeah, I'm doing these awesome ski maneuvers, jetpacking all over places. No way. I got sniped.
Yeah. I never went for it. I just started picking flags. So I was like, I'm just going to grab a weapon and see if I can keep shooting down the guy that gets the flag. And play defensively, but I couldn't nail any of them. Like, I couldn't land any of my shots, and people were so used to the arc of their weapons.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, they can lob grenades across the map, and they'd hit somebody as in mid-ski jump.
Yeah, I got okay at it after some practice. I was pretty decent at deathmatch, and the other form of deathmatch where you... What's it called in Halo? Oddball, I think? Like, you have the flag and you gotta stay alive just for as long as possible. Is that Oddball?
Yes. No, that's...
No?
Is that Oddball? Yeah, it is Oddball, when you're holding...
Whatever it's called, that mode in Tribes I was pretty decent at. I'd just stay alive forever.
I remember playing Oddball a bunch in the Halo 2 days. But we would all just, like, use weird and obtuse strategies to get them away from us.
That was back in the LAN days.
Yeah. Calvin would always use the Banshee and hit me with it just enough so I wouldn't die.
What, just to like run you over with it? Or
No, he'd be on my team, and he would use the Banshee to knock me up into a high place where it would let me in there, but there was no physical way for them to get at me.
Uh-huh.
And then it's like it got to the point where... everyone else was like, okay, we're not playing that map because then Calvin's just going to do that thing.
Uh-huh. I think that'll happen with any...
Yeah.
With games like that.
Yeah.
I was thinking about that recently. Because I was playing Hawken. Because we've been playing Guild Wars so much. And games like... These FPS games like Halo and Call of Duty and even League of Legends, you can just jump in and play a game and then leave.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're playing Guild Wars or WoW, it's just so much harder to do that because not everyone's at the same place. Everyone's questing at different times.
Yeah.
Guild Wars does a really good job of that, though. That leads us back into praising Guild Wars some more.
Yeah. Well, we did the seasonal.
Yeah, the Halloween dungeon.
The Halloween dungeon, which was really awesome.
Yeah, it was fun.
And I tried PvP for the first time yesterday, and that was pretty fun. It was really chaotic, and I had no idea what I was doing, but I managed to score 2 wins and 1 loss, I think. It was all just point capture, but it was really fun.
I did the Halloween PvP map, where it actually swaps out your skill bars, so you actually have your own... Everyone has the same abilities, which I thought was kind of neat. It levels the playing field, and you know what everybody else can do, and you know what you can do. And what it is, you have to go find pumpkins and then throw them into your base, and then skeletons will pop out. And you have to protect the skeletons as they go fight the enemy base.
That's so awesome.
And the other guys are doing the same thing. I had a lot of fun with that. I own Zord. I'm not going to lie. that was kind of fun.
The other thing that I really like about it, and I'm starting to appreciate it as I'm leveling.
Guild Wars?
Yeah. Is the fact that there are multiple areas in which you can level that are really, really close to each other. Like
they're right next door?
Yeah, the 15 to 25 area is like 2 zones away from the other 15 to 25. And in World of Warcraft, it's like you had to take a boat or like fly really, you go to the other side in order to get to the other one because you might have gone through the entire area doing all the quests and you still haven't leveled past it. So you got to go to the other side of the world to pick up those quests and do them.
Yeah, it used to be level. Like that. It used to be like that. You haven't played through the new Cataclysm.
No, I haven't played through Catawell.
In Cataclysm, if you go and do a dungeon, if you go and run Dead Mines even once, it'll put you. You'll out-level the content.
Really?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
So all of a sudden you're over-leveled for the zone you're in.
Hmm.
Which is interesting. What that does is you can just play the game solely by doing dungeons.
That would be fun.
Yeah, I actually did that for a while. What were we doing? Oh, you're making me dig up the past, Josh. It's Uldemon.
No, leave it. Leave it.
No, it's too late. It already came out. I already took the crowbar and broke open the casket. Is it Uldemon?
You leave that vampire back where it belongs.
That's what it's called, right? Uldemon?
Yes.
Not Ulduar, that's the Lich King one.
No, yeah.
Uldemon. I did a group for that. And all the dungeons are easier because they actually did not tune the dungeons for the new leveling system. So your characters are just naturally stronger in this new system they have set up, but the dungeons are still tuned for the old system. So they're effectively easy.
Yeah.
You know, you and me would wipe a million times in Uldemon.
Yeah.
That was the best. Or was it? Or was it the best, Josh?
That's the weird thing about it. It's like...
Was it really all that good? anyway, let me finish my story.
Go ahead.
I was in a random group of people doing that, and then these random group of people was like, okay, let's go do this other dungeon. It's like, alright, I'll tag along. And we did like 10 dungeons all in a row. Maybe not that many. Maybe I'm exaggerating, but... We did a ton of dungeons. Most of these I've never seen before.
Right.
And I was gaining levels left and right, and I don't know, it was just a lot of fun.
That's pretty cool. I still haven't seen any of the actual real dungeons in Guild Wars 2.
Oh, no. As far as I know, the first one unlocks when you hit level 30.
I can't wait for that.
Yeah, I am very interested to see how their dungeons work, because I do not understand the aggro system in Guild Wars. If there even is one, I just don't understand it.
Yeah, I've managed to pull some away.
Yeah, I think it's just hidden. Like, monsters will just naturally attack the melee characters or something.
I've gotten them to get more aggro on me.
Uh-huh.
If I spend more abilities that have crowd control on it.
Put down so more AoEs.
Well, yeah, it's like if I hit them with like a stun every 2 seconds over a period of 10 seconds, they see me as the biggest threat to their damage output.
Maybe.
So they'll just turn to me and start whomping me.
Yeah.
Which is perfect, because I'm starting to get the timing down on all my block abilities, so it's
your
really
rotation.
Fun.
You got your rotation
yeah.
going.
Yeah. I'm starting to slowly learn it for different monster types.
But maybe they just don't really have a threat system, because no one has a taunt. There are no taunts. So I guess the threat system in this game probably just doesn't operate the same way it does in WoW, and I still just don't understand it.
Yeah.
Because in WoW, I was always the mage, and if I was actually doing too much damage, which is my job, but if I did my job too well, the monster would turn around and start hitting me, because he's more angry at me now. Which makes sense. I'm obviously the biggest threat.
You know what would be super scary?
Mm.
If Left 4 Dead had a threat system.
Okay.
If you're the dude that's killed the most zombies,
they'll all swarm you.
That would be so terrifying. I'd never want to fire a single round. I'd want to run through the entire level,
That's funny.
That'd be really scary. That'd be a fun mod if someone did that.
I don't know. There's a lot of things about Left 4 Dead. I wouldn't be surprised if it already does that.
Hmm.
Because it has a lot of deep mechanics in there.
It was on sale today. Actually, the second one is on sale for...
Again?
Yeah, it's pretty cheap. I think it was 75% off.
I'm still waiting for Borderlands to go on sale.
Yeah.
I went ahead and bought Guild Wars.
Yeah.
Because everybody else was playing it. And then I got you to play it.
Yeah.
But I still want to play Borderlands.
Yeah,
I can't now because my tablet pen broke and that was $60. And I ended up buying Guild Wars and that was $60. I don't have any money.
Yeah,
I have no money. at least Christmas is soon. At least I have Christmas to look forward to.
Yeah, I was thinking about putting Because my girlfriend was asking me, it's like, what would you like, for Christmas? What would be cool for Christmas? And I was thinking about asking for, one of the D&D board games. I was really eyeing the Castle Ravenloft game. Uh-huh. And also, I was thinking about, Arkham Horror. Because one of the things that I really like, and it's really nice that... my family is starting to pick it up because I'm running a D&D Next campaign amongst my family now.
The new playtest just came out today.
Yeah, I downloaded it.
Is it good?
It's pretty awesome.
I didn't take a look.
It goes to level 10. They have all new abilities. They have a new crit system, a big extensive list on magical items. They have dozens more monsters for high level play. It's pretty good. And also a new campaign scenario, a new adventure,
yeah,
that comes with it.
Good.
So anyway, I'm thinking about that or Arkham Horror or another similar RPG-ish game because my family has been playing D&D, but I want to sort of get something that I could take, like if we were to go somewhere on vacation or something, or if I were just hanging out with somebody, I could pull it out. It's like, hey, let's play Castle Ravenloft. It only takes an hour and a half.
Yeah. And as far as I know, it's pretty easy to just pick up. It's not like you don't have to teach them the full D&D rules.
No, apparently it's just like a really stripped down version of 4th edition.
We talked about it a lot in, I think, our first episode.
Yeah.
If not the second.
It might have been the second. But I was watching the unboxing, I guess, what they showed. Because it was essentially their way of Wizards of the Coast. It was like their trailer for it, because they usually have something for it. And they were showing off all the little minis, and I thought it was really cool. I really want to try it, just to see how it is.
Yeah, yeah. I want to try it too. But now we're just repeating ourselves, Josh.
Yeah, now we're backtracking. I'm sorry, everyone. Yeah. We always boil it down to Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah, yep.
That's what this entire show is. You know, you said it was going to be League of Legends, but it turns out it was Dungeons & Dragons.
It was Dungeons & Dragons the whole time. And we were too hidden. Blind to see it. All along.
Oh, man. Oh, I had a terrifying experience before I went to go see the Silent Hill movie.
Did you die?
No, I nearly died of fright. It was terrible. And the, you know what? I was set up. My girlfriend set me up. So we went to this nice little place that serves like really delicious desserts. Like that's their whole thing. It's like cheesecake and brownies.
Okay,
and
I know what desserts are.
Yeah. So we're finishing eating there, and we're about to go to the movie, and I'm like, well, I guess, you know, I'm gonna go check out the bathroom. I'm like, where is it? Because she's been there before.
Go check it out. See what's in there.
Well, yeah, you know what I mean.
I think
she's like, oh, it's upstairs, and she's like, you're gonna enjoy it. Now, what's that supposed to mean?
That's a strange thing to say about a bathroom.
Yeah. So I go up the stairs, and you know, my spider senses tell me that I'm being watched. So I look up on this chandelier, and there's a jester doll sitting on the chandelier.
A what? Walk,
a jester doll.
Oh, a jester.
Yeah, like it's a puppet, and it's sitting on top of the chandelier. It's impossible to see from the first floor, but as soon as you go on the top, you can see its feet dangling, and it's just watching people go up the stairs. And then the first floor is all cozy and nice and homey and whatever. The second floor is straight out of a horror movie because it's all super dark. The lights are flickering. And the first door you see at the end of the stairs, it says, don't you dare go in this room.
Okay.
And then the next one over is like, not this one either. And then like, so I finally found the bathroom door.
There was another hiccup.
Sorry. And I opened the door. And the first thing that I see are a pair of feet dangling from the ceiling.
In the bathroom?
In the bathroom.
So, like, just through the ceiling? Like, ceiling cat? Is there a hole?
Through the ceiling. It's like a part of the ceiling. And the whole bathroom is meant to be, like, you're underwater.
Okay.
Because you're looking up. And that's all, you know, whatever. That's cool.
No
big deal. So I open the door completely, and in the corner of the room, in the darkness, is another puppet, like an actual dummy, sitting in a rowboat, face directly to watch you while you pee.
Well, that's
in
nice.
In the darkness.
Yeah.
And so I'm sitting there, and I'm like, oh my god, what is this horrible place? And then I look around, and there's other terrifying things. They're all nightmare fuel things that are not meant to be scary, but are just inherently scary. Like, the toilet paper holder was a pair of hands coming out of the walls holding toilet paper. I didn't even go. I closed the door behind me. I said, this is a terrible place of death, and went downstairs. It was horrifying.
I see. But you're saying that the lower level was candy and gumdrops and rainbows.
Dude, I felt very safe until I went upstairs.
That's really funny.
Yeah, downstairs it felt like you're at grandma's house because it's just so nice. And then you go upstairs, and that's where grandma hides her skeletons.
Literally, literal skeletons.
It was a pretty weird place. I'd go there again, but you know.
But my fears won't allow it.
You know, unlike my character, I don't believe in the occult. But, geez, that was terrifying. Never again.
Never again.
Never again.
Well, that sounds fun.
Yeah, it was a good time. Despite, you know, the horrifying experience upstairs, it was a good place.
I don't go outside.
The sun, it burns.
It does.
I've often suspected you of being a vampire, but I don't have any proof.
Not yet, anyway.
Yeah, so I guess I'm cool with it. Hypothetically, if you were a vampire, you haven't tried to eat me yet, so...
Well, that's not what they do, Josh. If a vampire is doing his job, you never know he's there.
This is true.
Think about that for a second.
Well, but maybe, because you know that, you're playing a different game to throw me off.
Uh-huh.
To throw off my suspicion.
Yeah, and I knew that you would know that.
I have an extensive... file on vampires hidden away somewhere.
I'm sure you do. What to do in a vampire scenario. Should that ever occur?
That's never been something I've ever been really afraid of.
Vampires?
You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, I don't know. I'm not really too afraid of, like... You know, there are some people that are like, oh, monster movies are so scary. Like, monster movies aren't scary to me. But, like, psychopaths are scary to me.
Now, for me, it is the complete opposite.
Really?
I'm not afraid of people. I'm afraid of ghost monsters. Coming out of the ceiling and swallowing me.
Basically things that don't have reason or explanation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm, like, I can't think of any examples because I don't watch horror movies.
For that specific reason.
On purpose. What is the Shia LaBeouf one?
Oh,
with his neighbor and stuff.
Yeah, that's Disturbia. Yeah.
Yeah, that one didn't scare me at all.
Yeah.
Were you spooked?
There are other ones that are fit the genre better. I liked it though. It did. It's you know.
Well, apparently it wasn't all that successful of a movie. Like, I guess it's just decent. I don't know because I don't have a frame of reference. But, I mean, I could see how it could be spooky at some points because he, like, jumps out from a corner and snaps your neck and is like, I don't know what's going to happen. But that doesn't scare me at all. It's just a guy. I know what – he's a crazy guy. I don't exactly know what he's going to do next, but he's not going to – intrude in your nightmares and eat you from within.
That's true. That isn't, you know, it isn't as deep. I guess, I think, like, I don't know. It's like, there are monsters or whatever, and it's there, and I realize, yes, if they did ever pop out, they would be much more terrifying than a serial killer. Like, if I survived an encounter with a demon, I would be like, serial killers, meh. I just fought, you know, Belteroth, the scourge of the demon pits.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that there are psychopathic killers. It's not something in folklore.
Yeah, those are real.
Those are real, and they're very real, and there are probably a bunch of them in my country.
Know. Country? Yeah. I would dial it down to neighborhood, Josh.
In your household. Underneath your floorboard.
You never know.
There was a story about, like, it's not about a serial killer, but it's equally creepy. It was some person that broke up with someone, and then after a year kept hearing noises in her attic, and she goes upstairs, and she finds out that the ex has been living up there for an entire year, watching her.
For a year?
A year.
Yeah. What is that? Just a creepypasta there?
No, it was on the news.
Oh, this is a real thing that happened?
Yeah, he was arrested.
Really?
That was so terrifying to me, because it's like, how do you not know that there's a person living in your attic?
Yeah, how could you really not know? I mean, they have to go out. Like, did you not notice the ladder in the backyard going up to the attic window, or?
Yeah. Did the neighbors not notice the shadow of the person climbing in?
How would you not know?
That's what I'm saying. It's stuff like that terrifies me because I know it happens.
And then what was he even doing up there?
He was just living
just
up there
out.
Because he wanted to be near her.
Uh-huh.
And it's just super creepy.
Yeah, I guess. A little bit. It does slightly drift into the creep zone.
That's what I mean. Like, that's why I'm horrified by these things, because I know it happens. And those movies, whenever I see them, I'm like, yeah, well, you know, because we watched Saw a bunch, like, for a while. And it's like, that is completely unreasonable. That's why it's kind of entertaining. It's like, nobody's going to set up a deadly obstacle course for people. Uh-huh. But I know that such people have that mentality, like, yeah, we're going to kill people because we have to save them, quote-unquote. We're going to try to kill them, and if they survive, they're fine. I know that people are that crazy, so.
Uh-huh.
That's my take on it. That's what scares me. We're getting down to the...
Yeah.
I don't want to... the issues. We're exposing ourselves to you guys. That's what I'm deeply afraid of. So if you really want to scare me to death...
Be a person. Just in front of Locke.
Yeah. Humanity scares me.
Creepily laugh around him. That's all it takes.
That would be the worst.
Okay.
I'm just, you know, I know it's completely unreasonable, but what if someone set up that scenario? Like you're being followed by a person.
What are you doing?
I'm switching tabs. I'm trying to look for this thing that I had up.
Punching.
I had a lot of tabs open.
Sounds like you're just punching the space bar. That sounds like me.
No, I was using the mouse button, but I'm not actually using the mouse. I'm using the one on my laptop.
I see.
I don't know what you would call that. What would you call it?
Mouse button.
I know there's an actual name for it.
Trackpad.
Yeah.
I believe is the technical term.
Yes.
What's wrong with your desktop, Josh?
It's in the living room and they're watching
something. Oh, you're in a different room?
Yep.
I see.
Yep.
Some might argue that is the purpose for a laptop.
Yeah. And I really appreciate this one. It's really good at being just as fast for everything else I need to do that isn't, you know.
Sure.
That isn't super gaming. But it'll still play well, really well. It's usually what I do before I,
At all times ever?
At all times ever. You know, before I breathe, before I eat, I play well.
Wake up.
No, if I got a couple of hours to kill whenever I'm out and about, I usually bring it with me, and I'll settle down in a Starbucks or something, and I'll play.
And
I'll
lull play it up.
Yeah. Or sometimes play a little Torchlight. Oh, man, I'm seriously considering just playing on normal. Because
why?
Because playing on Veteran and Torchlight, it's like, it takes forever to get strong enough to go through a zone. For me, because I don't know why, I'm just not getting good drops. I'm getting chamois gear all the time.
So you're feeling that it's too slow-paced for you?
Yeah, on Veteran, at least. I think if I were to play it on normal and then play Veteran on New Game Plus, it would be a little better.
Mm-hmm.
It could be me just being, you know, weak.
Not any good, yeah.
Yeah.
It's okay, Josh. It happens.
I know it's not my genre. Like, I know it. I like playing it, but I could not get as into it as a lot of my other peers, because I know Chris played Diablo 2 a lot, and he really loved Torchlight 2, and he played. I think he beat it on the most difficult setting the other day, okay. And he was amazed. He played through the entire game with his pet on passive. By accident.
Did he never notice that his pet never attacked anything?
He never noticed. I guess he was too busy not dying.
I see. That's interesting, I suppose.
Yeah, I could not imagine playing that way. So yeah, I've actually been meaning to ask you about this arc, the current one that we're on.
Yes.
How's the pro style been working for you in terms of like drawing this out? Has it been working better?
I don't know. I can't really say one way or another, because I still do have. Either way, I still kind of have to reformat it. You mm-hmm. know what I mean?
Yeah.
Either way, I'm still gonna. I don't want to say rewrite, but.
I know what you mean.
Edit essentially.
Yeah.
Like, I make that comparison all the time. It's like, you are essentially, you're the idea guy. And
yeah.
You are good, really good at crafting worlds, and then I come in and put the spit shine on it.
Yeah.
That's just the roles we've somehow set up for each other.
Yeah, and that's what I'll, you know, that's what I talk about sometimes whenever somebody asks me. It's like, oh, how much of it do you do? And I'm like, well, in reality, it's like, I'll throw... the comic in a direction. That's my job. I'll have an idea and I'll run it by you and I'll sort of like craft the earliest form of it and give it pokes and prods until we're both satisfied with the main idea, and then you go in and weave it into the world. Like,
more
essentially
or less, yeah.
it's still your creation because you have the final say so on it.
I suppose.
Yeah.
Which I am getting tired of. This responsibility on my shoulders? So, but that.
Oh, jeez. But no, the reason why I was asking you is because I have found this a little easier for me to write in that way.
Well, that's good. Then we'll keep doing it then.
Okay.
Maybe you'll write more comics then, Josh.
Yeah. Well.
Yes.
No, I found it's a lot easier to write in this way because I and geez, I should actually explain the context. So for this arc, for this arc, normally when I write Massive Pwnage, I try to get it in the standard script form or really basic dialogue panel outline form.
Yeah.
And one of Ince's suggestions was that I try to write the comic as I would a short story, because he's actually privy to a lot of the other stuff that I write that isn't related to the comic. I write a lot of short stories, and he's read them before, and he feels that that's my natural writing form.
I did say that, yes.
So he suggested instead of doing it in that way, I should just write it as a short story, and he'll go in and break it up into separate comics. And that's what we've been trying to do. I remember earlier we were trying to figure out in what direction the comic was going to go, and we were going to try to either put it towards a main arc or try to really work into the characters. And we finally went in and picked an idea we'd been thinking about for a while, and that was to really develop Tika and Alice. And so we went with this arc, and this is the first one that I've written that was completely in prose and that I hadn't touched in terms of breaking it up into panels. So yeah, I mean, I hope you guys have been enjoying this arc so far. It was really fun for us to think up, and it was fun for me to write, especially the dialogue. I actually fell in love with writing Tika dialogue. I think I write him a lot. I think I write her a lot darker than she really should be.
Yeah.
But it's also really funny to have that kind of voice in the comic. So, yeah.
I came up with that idea. The Tika losing her job arc. So it's really weird the way we operate. It's like a lot of time I'll come up with a very basic idea, but don't know where to go with it. And that's where you come in. And then you take it somewhere and then give it back to me, and then I put the shine on it.
Yeah.
It's really weird how this works.
Yeah.
But I guess we're still trying to figure it out, but I guess it's something.
And, you know, that's another thing that we always get that question whenever we're asked about it. Whenever we went to the cons or whatever, and someone would ask us after a panel, it's like, okay, how does that work in terms of the ideas? And really, we don't know. Like, we're still learning it as we go. It's been 5 years, and we're still trying to figure out how we're doing this and what really, like, it's weird to say, we're still not quite sure on a sort of identity for the comic other than what the spirit of the characters are. And sometimes that's kind of how you have to do it. That's the only way to keep writing, is to just write.
It's always a work in progress.
Sometimes it's a little terrifying because, like, you know, sometimes we'll look at it and we'll be like, all right, okay, really, where is it going? And sometimes we'll say it's not going anywhere. It's mostly for fun. And sometimes you're like, well, we want to say something with it. But overall, we feel like telling the story is in itself inherently worth it.
Sure.
So to try to focus on developing it and figuring out new ways to entertain you guys and new ways of telling the story, that's well worth the pursuit. And this is only just one of the one ways that we've tried doing that. So we hope you've enjoyed it so far. It seems like you guys are really liking this arc. A lot more posters recently.
Kind of.
A little more active. Oh, I apologize for, I guess in your own words, spoiling today's or yesterday's.
I don't know. You are very careless with your spoilers. Reckless abandon is how I would describe it. It's like, Josh, some people don't like spoilers. What are you doing?
I wasn't really spoiling it. I just, let's see, when did I post? I posted on the 27th.
Yeah. It was a few hours afterwards, I think.
Yeah.
He didn't respond, so I guess he didn't see it.
I didn't think he would, which is why I did, but...
Uh-huh. Sure.
I just thought it would be really funny that for like someone who is reading it all the way through, because a lot of readers do that. That's when they come in and they read it in one huge block.
Oh, so you did it for the retroactive readers? Or...
Yeah, I thought that would be really funny for them to read down the comics and it's like, oh look, there's that. You're in for a treat. And that was great. You actually spiked that joke.
Well, yeah. What did you expect?
I'm really mad because I'm actually behind on the new season of Doctor Who. Like, I'm 5 episodes behind. And the only way for me to watch it is to buy it on Amazon. Like, to rent, I guess, the episode or something. I don't want to do that because that costs money.
It does cost money.
Yeah.
But anyway.
So, yeah. Let's see. We went to D&D again. Talked about Doctor Who.
I think we're good.
I think we're good. We established my fears, your fears.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
I left mine a little open, so my attackers aren't quite sure how to get me. Just
they aren't
yet.
as well armed.
Yeah, as your attackers.
Well, yeah, I think that'll do it for this podcast. I hope you guys have a great Halloween. Please stay safe, and we'll see you guys next time.
Unless you're listening to this and Halloween already happened.
Yeah, in which case, I hope you had fun.
Because then your warning is outdated. Unless they take it to mean for next year.
That could work.
Or does your warning expire?
It might have a sticker on it. You might want to check. But it's still going to be good for at least a day or two after that thing.
Oh, really? That's it? Jeez.
Just sniff it. And it's okay. It smells okay, it's okay.
I could never tell if milk is like, is this how it's supposed to smell? I don't remember. I'm not sure.
I try not to risk it.
I don't think that's how milk is supposed to smell. It tastes okay, so...
Not with milk. I never risk it.
One time, back when we lived in McMinnville's, which is an hour drive from where we live now, I brought some chocolate milk, a gallon of chocolate milk from Portland. And so it was sitting in the car for, you know, an hour at least. And then we forgot it in the car.
Oh.
It never came in. Well, the point is it didn't get into the refrigerator. I think it ended up sitting on the table.
Yeah.
So, you know, another hour or two go by, and it's like, oh, my chocolate milk. So I put it in the refrigerator. I put it in the refrigerator anyway, in hopes of saving it.
Yeah.
But then later still, I am convinced that no, it is not any good. Throw it away. It's like, oh, all right. So with great reluctance, I poured it down the drain after I drank half of it.
Oh.
I chugged half a gallon of probably bad chocolate milk before I poured the rest down the drain.
This is completely true. Completely true. I remember that. I enjoyed it
very much. That was some good chocolate milk. So I don't know what the problem was.
That's like your guilty pleasure. That's something you'll take.
Milk?
No. That it's like no. At least half of it is still good.
Yeah.
You're just desperate, man.
Yeah, right. Only half of it went bad.
You're just a desperate person.
I only drank the top half. The bottom half was bad. I'm sure. That's how it works, right? With liquids?
I don't know.
You don't know?
I don't know if that applies to milk. I still think that's pretty sad. Like, that's not a funny story entirely. That's a sad story. That's a tragedy.
That's not something to be proud of?
No. I mean, like, losing a gallon of milk is a tragedy.
I agree. Good night, everybody.
Oh, good night. That's good.